Sonia DeFries is up this morning. Good morning.
Morena, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. We sure as heck wouldn't say it about Sam Neill either.
Absolutely not. And I'm just thrilling for the moment at hearing punk on Radio New Zealand. That's very exciting. Hey, so, Sam Neill's memoir. Have you read it? Did you flick through it all?
Not yet. I don't think I received my copy. I'm in the habit sometimes of being 2 or 3 days behind you.
And actually, the hard copies, I had to read it on a PDF, which was a delightful challenge.
Uh-huh.
Yes, well, it's just the way of the world now, isn't it?
I'll just note the Kim Hill interview, for listeners, though, who missed it, remember, a couple of Saturdays ago now. So do go back and track that down.
Yeah, it was lovely. I listened. It was about 50 minutes long and a really lovely conversation. We're talking about his memoir and sparked by a cancer diagnosis, which is just absolutely gobsmacking when you think about it. So around this time last year, Sam Neill, beloved actor and, of course, Pinot Noir enthusiast, goes to the GP with some swollen glands and ends up with a stage 3 cancer diagnosis, lymphoma. Obviously horrific and shocking, and suddenly turned on a dime, his life goes upside down. So during the 4 months worth of chemo and then what looks like about another 6 months worth of experimental treatment, he starts writing about his life. And so what we have here, 400 odd pages of memoir, is an absolutely amazing feat, really. I think it could have easily been a vanity, or a distraction, and potentially given the stress of being treated for an aggressive cancer, a badly written distraction. It's hard to imagine writing well while undergoing chemo. But this is, for me, one of the best memoir I've read. When I think about what makes a really good memoir, it should be captivating, even if you're not a fan, or potentially even if you're not known to the reader. And this has that potential. So it starts with the ordinary kind of family backstory. Of course, there's lots of details about his work in film. It also talks about his love of art, of architecture, music, of course, wine. I guess this is what you'd expect from a memoir. But for me, there were two critical aspects that really lift this above and beyond. The fact that he's writing it while he's undergoing, this terrible, sledgehammer treatment that is chemo. But most importantly, the fact that he is a very, very good writer. It feels like it's had a really light touch, editing-wise. You can hear his voice. It's really natural. There's no sign of others' hands. It's not contrived. There's no artifice there. It's quite raw. And I liked that, had that real feeling of authenticity. His delightful humility hits just the right tone. You get this lovely sense of a boy from Dunedin, sometimes feeling out of his depth, who's had a kind of a life full of delightful surprises, success being one of them. And the prose is really, really beautiful, very elegant. He's arriving in Sydney in Australia for the first time and says, "When I got to Sydney, I found an azure harbour crisscrossed by ferries, a brilliant white opera house that only a genius could have dreamt up. You didn't need to wear much. The climate was as different from Wellington as you could imagine. It was still warm and smelt of peppermint gums." And I just loved that sense of that warm air that smelt of peppermint gums. It's just beautiful. So it does occasionally ramble off-piste with an anecdote that has, no natural place in the flow of the narrative. Remembering, of course, it's a memoir, not an autobiography, so it is meant to do that. But in this case, when he does that, it's like a perfect kind of lift, or it's like a sideways sparkle. There's this lovely story about dear friends whose dog didn't do well at the arrival of a new baby, and it's there apropos of nothing, but it's insightful and it kind of lifts you up. There's also a real poignancy throughout it. Sam's thanking lots of people for their company and their tolerance. And, I found as I was reading it, I wondered if I was looking for that kind of poignancy. But it still is really lovely. It feels natural. He was remembering friends and family who have passed, often with, kind of lots of gratitude. And knowing the context, it's hard not to read into it, but it's nice, remembering those whose lives didn't continue alongside his own. It's got lots of his opinion and belief. He wears his political leanings on his sleeve, a reflex lefty, talks about leaving New Zealand in the 70s when, you know, Muldoon was in power and in a very passionate way. And there's incredible insights to early filmmaking in the 60s and 70s. You know, really good reminders about these early feature films, which kind of created, you know, filmmaking in New Zealand, and some really hilarious insights. I loved the description of the homemade detonator that, you know, exploded sheep's blood when he got shot in Sleeping Dogs. He says, "Thank God it worked. We only had budget for one jacket." So it is like laugh out loud funny, even in and especially in some of the really sad parts. It's got all the things that you'd expect, all the insider, you know, insider information about actors and acting, and a chapter on kissing. And you get a real sense of what he doesn't like, you know, rudeness and laziness. And there's a really strong, if I may, almost a sort of feminist leaning to it. You know, he'd prefer a gender-balanced film industry, you know, perhaps even, you know, slightly leaning towards a female-dominated film industry. And he writes about that in a really, really interesting way. So as a memoir, it's rich. You know, it's got a really lovely pace. It's slow, it's meandering. We dip back in time every now and then. There's a theme that just pops up, like hitchhiking. And he crashes us into the present every now and then with the cancer diagnosis. And oh my goodness, you know, diverse, informative, funny, and what an ending. It's a really good read.
Thank you so much. Sonia DeFries, Did I Ever Tell You This? A memoir by Sam Neill.